I'd like to just share a quick something from Exodus 40. If anybody read through the Bible in a year, anybody ever tried to do that? Yeah, a handful of people. As you hit Exodus 40, you're rounding into Leviticus, where things really grind to a halt, right? You start getting the genealogies and all of that. And even as you hit Exodus 40, you know, there's all this stuff about the tabernacle and, you know, put the lampstand here and put the basin here. And, you know, you got to have Aaron and his sons wash, and you got to get those guys over here. And placing everything and everything has this meaning. And certainly I don't want to go through all of that. I know we could. You could probably teach the entire 2 weeks in the mornings on the tabernacle, and I think that would be a good one. But Exodus 40, verse 33, then Moses set up the courtyard and around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard, and so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And as I understand it, the translation is not particularly precise here. It seems to imply sort of a pause between when Moses finished the work in verse 33, and then when the cloud, the presence of God and the glory of God, then covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It seems to imply some pause there, but in fact, as I understand it, the original language has it more sort of immediate, right? God told Moses to put all these things in his place. And it's almost like God was just waiting, ready to pounce, waiting for his people to be obedient. And then as soon as they were, bang, he jumped in. And he just couldn't wait to pour out his presence, to fill the temple with his glory. He just couldn't wait. And it was immediate that he jumped in there. And being here and that always reminds me, and I've told this story before, and perhaps some of you have heard it, but this actually, my man Chris Vogel, this might have been in your day. Tell me if you were here for this, but I was probably 16, 17. Dish boys used to sit here, dish boys and pot boys, always avoiding this chair. You're a brave man. These two seats are the seats of death. If you're trying not to fall asleep in meeting, or if you'd like to fall asleep in meeting, you sit right here, right? I mean it's a strong man who can sit in that chair after working like you do and not fall asleep. So good for you. But we always just sit here, and I was sitting. Let me see. I have to get my vantage point right. I think I was sitting right here. Yeah, I was sitting right here. And how many know Sister Grace Schulteis, or new Sister Grace? Yeah, yeah. And I think Elsie, you probably know where I'm going with this, Brother Paul too. Sister Grace, for those of you who don't know, and for those of you who are sitting in the front row, Sister Grace used to, like, when she was preaching in the lake, if she thought you weren't paying attention, she'd like roll up right on you like this. She'd start preaching and didn't at you like that. And then, you didn't dare not pay attention. I mean, she would get right up on you if she sensed that you weren't. And so, you know, we were at attention. And so she's leading the meeting, and we're worshiping in that critical time, like Brother Ernie mentioned, right before the meeting, where God really begins to soften and work and prepare the soul of your heart for the seed of the word. And all of a sudden, she we're singing a song. She gets up and she stops the music, right? And she takes her book and she says, you know, here we are. We're singing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth, the Master of the universe. And who would ever? And she sat down. Who would ever sit there and sing to him? And she's, I'm not going to do it this time. I'm not so serious. But she slammed her book down. Who would sit there and sing to him like this? And she went on. I mean, she just went off. And she just kept going on and on and on. Like, you know. And I'm sitting here like, man, like, was it me? Like, I don't think it was me, but maybe it was me. Like, I don't know. No, I don't think so. So she kept the song going. And then after the song, my brother actually, I don't know why he wasn't sitting here on this side, but because we were Dish Boys together. For some reason, he was sitting on this side. And I wanted to check my vantage point because from here, you can't see that seat right there, right in front of Brother Frank. You can't see that. And so he stands up to give a testimony, and he says, yeah, that was me. And like, my eyes just like, oh my goodness. You know, not the least of which because everybody always confuses us. And they're like, oh, you're the guy that was, you know, had his book like that. But also, I mean, my brother and I were close, like, you know, we played basketball together growing up, and if he would have hit a big shot in a game, like, I'd be more happy about that than if I hit the big shot. You know, I mean, that's the sort of relationship we had. You know, I wanted good for him, and certainly not that. But he got up and said, you know, that was me, and he quoted, I just want to pull it up to make sure I get the right verse. He quoted, well, he said, you know, here I am, I'm working like crazy, right? I mean, who's Dishes here? Anybody Dishes? No. Dishes. Yeah, they're still there, right? Now, if we were doing Dishes, we'd be done by now. Okay, we did fit Dishes fast, okay? And we did them good, too. It's not all about speed for the guests. But, you know, here I am. I'm working hard, sweating. You know, I mean, if you saw us doing Dishes, we were running like crazy. I mean, there's a different pace at which you can move, and we were moving, okay? Right? You could do the Dishes like this, you know, and you could sack them. I mean, there was none of that. We were flying. And here I'm working hard, you know, drove from North Carolina to get here. Like, I'm tired, man. I'm sitting here in meeting. I'm tired, you know? I was up at 6:30 this morning at devotions, volunteering. You get what? A boathouse ticket a day and $3.25 in tips at the end. Like, what am I? I'm in it for the money, you know. I'm trying here, and here's this lady just laying into me for like 10 minutes straight, embarrassing me in front of all my friends. Like, I don't, you know. And he said, like, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I don't need this. And I was about to walk out that door, hop in my car, and go home. But then he said he remembered Proverbs 9:8, where it says, do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. And he said, Sister Grace, I'm sorry. And thank you for that. And she walked over there and she gave him a hug. And, you know, like it says in Exodus 40, the glory of the Lord just descended upon this place and filled it. I have yet to experience anything like that night, because he was obedient to the word. And it's like God just waiting for that. Just ready and like, oh man, if I just had a little bit of obedience, like, I'm in there. I'm in there right now. He's just right on the edge of the seat, just trying to get in there, just waiting for that little bit of obedience. And when he has it, bang, bang. And I remember a couple years ago asking, I was talking to Brother Paul and Sister Elsie about it. So I asked if they remembered that meeting, and Sister Elsie remembered that meeting. You know, how many, you know, you hear all summer, two meetings a day, right? I mean, how many meetings has Sister Elsie been in that she remembers that meeting? I mean, I remember that meeting, certainly. You know, Brother Tim at the end of the youth retreat talked about an Ebenezer, and when God did something special for the people of Israel, they would set up these, you know, this little hill of rocks, right? And so every time anybody passed by it, they would, hey, you know, Dad, Granddad, what's this pile of rocks all about? Oh, that was when God did this, right? That's an Ebenezer. To me, that is such a special Ebenezer of mine that you know, that was late in high school, you know, rolling into college and, you know, talking to all the smart people that you can talk to at college. And, you know, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really say that. It says this. And, you know, in for me, in times of doubt, in times of questioning, it was like, well, if God's not real, then what was that? Right? What was that? It couldn't have just been, like, it couldn't have just been an emotional experience. It couldn't have just been, you know, this random thing, right? And so, I just wanted to share that story because, you know, this room just reminds me of that, that seat, that time. And again, just, you know, maybe you just got here. Maybe you've been here for a while. Maybe God's tugging on your heart about something. It's just, He's just waiting for you to be obedient, for Him to just flood this place, flood your heart, flood the temple of your heart with His glory, with His presence. And I just wanted to encourage you in that. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we're God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 100 in the white book. Let us sing. Stand together as we sing. 100 in the white book. This is our prayer. It's our desire that you make us like yourself. We've prayed several prayers from this book tonight, or our hymn book, and we've asked you, Lord, to change us. We've heard, Lord, that you're waiting for us to get to the place of obedience. You're waiting for our compliance. You're waiting for us to just open our hearts. And thank you, Lord, that as we do, that you're not far from us, but you're ready to give and help and change. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the desire that you put into people's hearts, Lord, to travel so far to be here with needs and problems that only you can solve. Lord, some with anguish and difficulty in their hearts, looking to you for relief, burdens to be lifted. Lord, problems to be solved, tangles to be undoed. Lord, it's still not perhaps as it ought to be, but you're working in us. You're changing us. You're making us more like yourself. That's our one supreme desire, that we might be like you. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to work. Lord, give us your love. Give us your joy and your patience, your understanding heart, your tenderness and your mercy. All these attributes that we sang about earlier, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. And so, Lord, we pray that the glory of God, the Holy Spirit will give us overcoming power. The Holy Spirit will give us eye salve so that we can see Jesus and behold him. And Lord, the Holy Spirit will give us openness of heart, that we might receive the King of Glory, the strong and mighty one in our battles, the one that will fight for us. We need you, Jesus. We want you. And dear Lord, we pray that you will help every one of us as we, not only tonight, but go forward, Lord, to see you. I have set the Lord always before me, always to see Jesus, always to be obedient to him and to live then in his presence. And Lord, we can be being filled with your glory. Lord, not once, not one time, not one event, but Lord, there's a beginning and a start, and then, Lord, it's a life. We pray that we might learn to live that life in the Spirit, in the glory of the Lord, as you've promised in your word, dwelling in the heavenlies, living in the glory, the presence of Jesus. And so, Lord, help us, we pray. Make us obedient. Make us good followers, good listeners. And Lord, help us to just cast all of our cares upon you. Our two sisters who testified, who are looking to you and who you're helping and coming to, Lord, we pray that you will continue to give them grace just to cast all of their cares upon you. And all of us, Lord, not just those two, but Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, just to let our request be made known to you and just give it over to Jesus and open our hearts to him, the one who can solve every problem and undo every tangle. And so, Lord, you're helping us. You're teaching us. We realize it's not by our might or our will or our power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, continue to work in us and change us and make us like you are, for your glory, for your namesake, we pray. And, Lord, we pray tonight for the whole camp. I don't know what they're doing in the village or in Natick or in Antrim tonight. I don't know if they're combined in a corporate meeting or having separate devotions. But, Lord, no doubt somewhere along the line this evening they'll gather together and they'll look to you and they'll be encouraged to open their hearts to you and they'll be reminded of the words of your truth. And we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to them and draw them and have your way in these boys, dear Lord. If there are any one of them, Lord, maybe some of them are slamming their books on the ground or got their head in their hands and just don't care too much. Dear Lord, speak to them. Speak to them, dear Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for using Sister Grace and our brother Isaac and Enor's life. But Lord, we pray that you'll use somebody down there or let the Holy Spirit just speak to them and get their attention, Lord, and help them to come into line and open their hearts, and the King of Glory shall come in, even tonight, Lord, even this evening in their meeting, and in the little cottagers' hearts, maybe Maybe their time is over. Maybe they're preparing for their rest and getting ready for bed. And we just thank you for what they've learned and what we heard this morning from them. And we pray that you'll continue to work in them every day this week. Lord, bless these hearts. Make them just to drink in the word of God. And Lord, help them to respond to it as best they can as little children. Lord, we know that you can do much for these cottagers. We don't despise that. No, they're little kids and they don't get much. They get a lot, Lord. Maybe more than we do sometimes in their simplicity, in their childlike faith. Oh, dear Lord, we pray that you'll do much for every single one of them. Bless them tonight and in this coming week, bless them greatly and all of us, Lord. We pray that you'll refresh the staff. Lord, they did work hard today, and they do work hard every day. Lord, in taking care of the many of us that are here, bless Sister Edith. Give her strength, oh God. Give her strength, oh God, day by day. Day by day, order her strength physically, Lord. And those that work with her, Lord, it's not a picnic in there, although it's a kitchen. Lord, we pray that you'll help them to get the help that you have for them. And Lord, as the practice of the presence of God, just in the kitchen we can know you and sense your presence and experience you just as readily as we can here in perhaps this room. Dear Lord, make your presence felt and known and help your blessing to attend to those that work as waitresses or laundry or housekeepers or groundsmen or dish boys, pot boys. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the whole camp, upon the office. Lord, just refresh tonight in this meeting by your presence. We ask you to do that for Jesus' sake and thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we take our seats and sing that last verse? Oh, perfect life of Christ, my Lord, I want.